You're listening to a podcast by Abide Church and Pastor Dan DeBell in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We pray this podcast helps you live, love, and look more like Jesus this week. Enjoy the message.
Hey, today we're celebrating Palm Sunday, which is also remembering the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, beginning of Holy Week. And as he's coming into Jerusalem, it's called Palm Sunday because they have the palm branches. They're laying their outer coats on the ground. Jesus is riding in on a donkey. And it's really a profound statement. We'll get to that here in just a second. It's a profound statement that Jesus is making as he's doing this. Many people thought that the Messiah would ride in and be a warrior general and come in on a war horse, if you will. But Jesus comes in, he does things his way and fulfills prophecy in doing so. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 19 today. If you brought your Bible, please go to Luke chapter 19. As you're turning there, I'm going to read this. Let me say this. The title for today's message is The Faithfulness of Palm Sunday. The faithfulness of Palm Sunday. We're going to be talking about a few lessons that we can learn from watching the disciples, from watching Jesus interact with people, things that we can learn today from Palm Sunday. So I'm going to start in Luke chapter 19, verse 28, Luke 19, 28. And here we see him getting ready to go to Jerusalem, go into the city in the triumphal entry. But here's what it says, Luke 19, 28. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Okay, so here's what that makes me say. As I'm reading through my Bible, I stop to say, okay, why it must be important what he just said. Before I continue reading, let me go back and reread. What did he just say? Because it has profound, it's a profound thing about showing us about what is going to happen in the following moments, in the following time, in the following week. So, point number one is this, and we'll look back at what he said. Point number one is this, be faithful over little. Be faithful over little. We're talking about the faithfulness of Palm Sunday. Be faithful over little. Right before Jesus goes in for the triumphal entry, Jesus shares a parable. And as he's sharing this parable, it's similar to a parable that he has shared before, but there's something that's very different about it that is worth noting. And so Luke 19, we're going to start in verse 12 right here. It says, therefore Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minus, and he said to them, do business till I come, or do business until I return back to you. This is Jesus talking about himself, referencing himself as someone who was going away to establish his kingdom and then to return again someday. And so in this story, in this parable, the master leaves, and when he returns, he calls his servants together once again. And here we're going to pick up in verse 16. Then it says this, then came the first servant, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minus. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Stop here. I'm not going to get into the entirety of this parable, but this gives us enough for today that shows us what's about to happen in Palm Sunday. He says, you've been faithful over very little. Now have authority over 10 cities. Here's some insights into this parable that we can pull out. The first one is that the master is interested in a return on his investment. You better believe that the master, who represents Jesus in the story, he is interested in a return on his investment. And friends, me and you are his investment. In this story, he's showing and he's beginning to remind the disciples once again, look, I am leaving and I'm trusting that you're going to do the work of the kingdom while I am away. But you better believe that I'm coming back. And when I come back, I want to see a return on my investment, which is you. The second thing we can learn from this parable is that the master is returning soon. He is coming back someday. This is not just something that, oh, it might happen, it might not. No, Jesus will return someday and he will establish his kingdom. The third thing, though, is this. The master desires to give his people authority over cities. He desires to give his people authority over cities. You see, earlier in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus tells a similar parable. It's the parable of the talents. And in that parable, he rewards the faithful servants with more talents or more finances. He says, I'm trusting you with this amount of finances. I'm going away. I come back. You stewarded it well. You invested it well. Now I'm going to trust you with even more finances, even more talents. More talents for stewarding wisely. But near the end of his ministry, he tells a similar parable, which is right here. And now the reward is no longer what I initially gave you. The reward is authority over cities. Authority over cities. And Jesus is beginning to remind his disciples that when I leave, I will, and when I finish my work, I will give you spiritual authority to do work on my behalf while I am away. And that's why he said multiple times, he said, that's why even the works that I do, you will do greater works than I have even done. He says, go in and make disciples. He says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. Look, it's been given to me. I'm going to entrust you to do what I would do if I was still here, and go. This is the principle, though, of faithfulness. He says, you are faithful over very little, have authority over 10 cities. Because you're faithful over little, you can be entrusted with authority over much. Because you are faithful over little, you can be entrusted with authority over much. Let's apply it even to our lives. Because you're faithful over the ordinary or that entry-level job that you have, you can be entrusted with a promotion from God and an open door from God. Because even for us as a church, we're faithful with this building in Catoosa that we lease. We don't own this space, but we lease this space. We believe that how we steward this place and how we are faithful with this space, that God will help us have authority over our own property in the very near future. Amen? Be faithful with a small task and be ready to be entrusted with a greater responsibility. You see, what happens is many times we want to be faithful with little so that we can just receive much and retire. But that's not what Jesus does. He says, you've been faithful with little, now have authority over 10 cities. What's that? More responsibility. Be entrusted with more responsibility, not just more stuff, not just more, make life super easy so you can go and retire and ride off into the sunset. No, he says, you've been faithful over little. Guess what? I have more work that I can entrust you with now. More work, that four-letter word, right? That more work, that four-letter word in our culture. Ugh, nobody likes to work anymore. But that's what we see in the context of the New Testament. It's time to go to work. There's work to be done while the master is away. Faithfulness in the little is always the prerequisite for multiplication in our lives. This is what we see all through Scripture. David was faithful. David was faithful over his earthly father's sheep before he was given authority over his heavenly father's people. Abraham was faithful over one son before God would give him authority to be the father of many nations. Joseph is faithful as a servant before God promotes him to authority over Egypt. Faithfulness in your current assignment will give you favor in your next assignment. Faithfulness in your current assignment will give you favor in your next assignment. And young people in the room, hear me in this. Too many times the world will lie to you and tell you that just because you went to college and you got that degree, that you deserve this up here. But there is something to be said about the principle of Scripture that says if you'll be faithful, even though you may be overqualified for this position, if God opens a door for you to come in at an entry-level place, if God opens a door for you to come in at a place where you think, I'm so far beyond this, I deserve better than this. If you will trust the open door that he's given you and be faithful where you are, you will go farther than you ever could go on your own. But too many times we try to outpace Jesus. We try to outpace God's will for our life. We try to jump so far ahead, and God's saying, I want to see how faithful you are here before I can make you an authority over what I have for you down there. That's what we see with the heroes of the faith. We just looked at David, Abraham, Joseph. These are all people that we should be looking up to in certain ways as they followed Christ, as they followed God, their living God, to say they were faithful here and God brought them here. So young person, don't be discouraged. Maybe somebody, even if you're a little bit older, you may say, I have this position right now. Don't be discouraged. If God gave you that open door, you can go in. If you will steward it well and be faithful where you're at, God will take you farther than you ever could on your own. Verse 13, what does he say? He says, do business until I return, until I come again. Continue to do business. And friends, it's a good reminder that we have work to do in this season. We have work to do in this season, especially as we get closer and closer to the day of Christ's returning. It's not a time to be passive. It's not a time to be shy. It's not a time to be watching other people do the work of the ministry. It's the time for us to go. We have a gospel to preach. We have the sick to pray for. We have the prodigals to minister to. We have an example to set for a lost and a wicked culture and a wicked world. They shouldn't be setting the example. We should be setting the example. This is how we live. This is what it means to walk in purity. This is what it means to have standards, to have morals. We have an example to set. We have work to do until he returns again. And then we will be entrusted with more work to do. Now is not the time to be spiritually asleep. Now is the time to be faithfully active and faithful over the little things. Point number two is this: be faithful. Be a faithful partner. Be a faithful partner. Be a faithful partner. Let's continue on now. What we're seeing is Jesus now. He is beginning to go into for the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, Luke 19, verse 29. And it came to pass when Jesus drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, whereas as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Because the Lord has need of it. This sounds very interesting. This sounds a little strange. Jesus, you're coming to bring salvation and begin to bring salvation, the process of it, to all of the world, to all of mankind from this moment forward who put their faith in you. Why not make a huge statement? Why not come in on a war horse? Why not come in and make even a greater statement? And Jesus says, no, I'm going to come in on a donkey. And here's why. This fulfills a prophecy written nearly 600 years before. Nothing Jesus does or says is ever by accident. It's not just some type of fluke deal or, wow, that's crazy how that worked out. No, it was all on purpose for the glory of God, because in Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. This was 600 years before Jesus would do this in person. Jesus could have made a donkey appear out of thin air if he wanted to, right? In Jesus' ministry, we see that he could provide finances, even miraculously, from a fish's mouth if he wanted to go out and purchase a donkey, could he not? He could make it appear. He could get the finances to purchase one. But God is looking for partners in doing the miraculous. Be a faithful partner. God is looking for partners in doing the miraculous. And so many times we just have this perspective, well, God's just going to do what God's going to do. And why didn't God just perform the miracle without my participation? Yet in Scripture, we don't see that. There's moments where God acts outside of participation, but the majority of the time he's looking at his sons and daughters and he's saying, do you trust me? Do you have the faith to do what I'm prompting you to do? Do you have the faith to go find a donkey that's never been ridden, untie it, and hope that you don't get beat up for trying to steal a donkey? Do you have the faith to do it? He's looking for partners. He's looking for partners. Why doesn't he just do it without my participation? The Lord is in need of your involvement. He's in need of your involvement. He wants you to be involved. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, God gave dominion to mankind. Even Psalm 115, verse 16 says this, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. We have been given, especially now that we are in a new covenant, in a new testament, we have been given a mandate and a certain authority in the natural realm. And when we partner our natural with his supernatural, this is where miracles are produced. We have been given authority in this natural realm to do something. And when we partner our natural with his supernatural, it's not our power, but we can be a channel for his power to flow. I don't produce, I'm not going in my strength, it's his strength that's working through me to heal people. I'm not producing this, I'm not doing the miracles, but I can be a vessel for him to use in order for this to take place. When we partner our natural with the supernatural, that's where miracles are produced. That's why I'm convinced that when we pray and we lay hands on people that need healing, When we do that in the natural, it transfers power through that act of faith and it ministers healing to bodies. I know for a fact that when I tithe in the natural, that it releases a supernatural protection and blessing for the remainder of my finances. I've seen it time and time again. I'm convinced that when we worship in the natural, that it becomes a sacrifice of praise. Scripture says a sweet-smelling aroma in the supernatural that ushers in the presence of God. When we worship together, you may not smell anything in the natural. We worship together in the natural, but our praise and our worship turns into a sweet-smelling aroma that draws in the presence of God. A great example of this, one of my favorite restaurants is Charleston's. I know I talk about this quite a bit sometimes up here, but Charleston's, they have a chicken fried chicken that will rock your world. That's not in my notes. Let me get back on track. But when you get out of the parking lot at Charleston's, you can smell what they're cooking at Charleston's. And what does it do? Even if you thought about going somewhere else, even if you parked there just because you couldn't find a parking spot, it will draw you in to the front door. I think that's similar to what happens with us. Whenever we worship, Scripture says it turns into a sweet-smelling aroma. And we see that in the Old Testament with the tabernacle, this beautiful smell that draws in the presence of God close to us for the supernatural and the miraculous to take place. We may not smell anything, but there's something that happens when we partner our natural with the supernatural. Let's continue. Luke 19, verse 32, it says this. So those who were sent, they went their way and they found it just as Jesus had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own coats on the colt and they set Jesus on him. This is a good reminder for me to ask, what's in my hand to give to the Lord to use? What do I have that God's gifted me with? Maybe it's a gift or a talent. Maybe it's something physical. What do I have that God's prompting me to use so that he can turn it into a supernatural, miraculous experience? What do I have in my hand? What do I have that I can partner with God? See, here's what we see in the story. I love this. The owners of the donkey, all it took for them to release their donkey, which was most likely something that they were going to make money off of, something that they were relying on to bring them increase, all it took for them to say, okay, was the Lord has need of this. The Lord needs this. And the faith of the owner was, all right, if Jesus has need of it, he can have it all. And how many things in our lives have we just been hanging on to? This relationship that we know God has not graced and put us in that he needs us out of. This job that we're hanging on to because it pays the bills and it's really nice, but God's called us to take a step of faith so that he can take us farther than where we are here. What thing am I hanging on to? What thing am I hanging on to in my life? Somebody's called me something. They said I wasn't good enough when I was a child and I've carried it with me my entire life. What thing am I hanging on to? And God's saying, I have need of that. Would you give it to me? Would you trust me with it? And we're hanging on to it, but the only way that we can receive all that he has for us is if I first let go, so then I can receive. You see, the owners, they understood the principle. If the Lord needs it, then he can take it. It's his. And I pray that we would be in the same place. Lord, I don't care what is in my life. If you have need of it, I will give it. I don't care. I don't care if I was trusting and relying on that, and if I've raised that donkey for years, believing that it was going to make me money in the future, Lord, My plan is plan B. Your plan is plan A. Lord, if you have need, I will trust you with it. And what I love is this. The owners, the neighbors there, they gave a donkey. It's not the most beautiful animal. The disciples laid their clothes on its back. That's not the most functional saddle. I don't know if you've ever ridden on clothes before, but it's not great. The donkey wasn't the most beautiful. The clothes weren't the most functional. But let this remind us that our part in the natural, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be perfect for God to use it. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be perfect for God to use it. It just has to be available and offered, and God will use it for his glory. Lord, we don't have a saddle, but all we have is the cloaks on our back. That's enough for a miracle. Lord, we don't have enough food for everybody, but we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's enough for a miracle. Lord, all I have is these kids that you've given to me and you've entrusted to me to raise in 2024 when the world's gone mad. That's enough for a miracle if I will give it to him. Lord, all I have is this job that barely pays the bills. If I give it to him, it's enough for a miracle. Lord, all I have is this neighborhood that we don't even love, but you've planted us here during this season. But I'm going to trust you with the influence of our neighborhood. That's enough for a miracle. If I will, by faith, do my part, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And make no mistake, you have a part to play in what God wants to do in this next season. He's looking for partners. He's looking for partners on this earth. Point number three is this: be faithful to praise. Be faithful to praise. As we continue in our story, we see Jesus' parable as he's preparing the hearts of his disciples. We see him preparing the necessary things and partnering with people to fulfill prophecy. And now we see him finally getting and people worshiping him as he comes into the city. Be faithful to praise. Luke 19, verse 37. Then as Jesus was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus, he answered and he said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Man, I love Jesus. Palm Sunday gets the name from the palm branches that they're waving and they're putting on the ground as Jesus enters the city. This was a common practice in many different cultures, but in the Roman Empire, this was a common practice. When the king and his army would conquer a city, the king would ride into the city. And the people would lay down their coats and their palm branches as a sign of honor, as a sign of submission, as a sign of reverence to the new king. Jesus is making a profound statement here. And it's no wonder that the religious and the Romans and everybody alike is pretty upset. But Jesus is still in the business of riding into cities on the praises of his people. Hear me today. Jesus is still in the business of riding into cities on the praises of his people. He says, look, even if they should keep quiet, all the rocks would cry out. Why? Because all of creation up to this point, all of creation has been waiting for this moment in history. And is Jesus speaking figuratively? I don't know. I'd almost say I think the rocks would cry out. And here's what's crazy about that. Even the rocks who cannot see, who are not alive, who cannot hear, they would cry out. But the religious are the ones who were truly blind and truly deaf and truly not alive. The rocks who we thought were not even living, who can't speak, who can't hear, they would cry. They would sing the praises of Jesus because all creation knows who he is. But it was the religious who were truly blind and deaf. And here's the heartbreaking part of Palm Sunday. There's a moment here where Jesus weeps. And it's at the very end here. I'm going to read from the Living Bible. It says this, Luke 19, verse 41. But as they came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to cry, "Eternal peace was within your reach and you turned it down. And now it is too late." Jesus weeps over the city because it did not comprehend the day at hand. It didn't comprehend the day at hand. And there are days and there are seasons and there are moments where the Lord draws near to his people. And it's what we do in those times and in those moments that has the potential to shake the very foundation of history itself. They did not know the peace that he offered them. And I just wonder, how many times does Jesus still weep over the cities, over our cities, because they do not know the peace that he offers them? It's right there. It's within your grasp. if you would open your eyes to see. It's within your grasp if my church would show you, if my church would open your eyes, if my church would shine a light to see what's going on in this dark and perverse world. See, Palm Sunday has a lot of lessons on faithfulness, a lot of lessons on things that we can learn, has some profound truths. We can apply them even today, but maybe the biggest lesson is this. If you hear anything today, hear this. We must not miss the opportunity before us. We must comprehend the day at hand. We must know the season that we're in the spiritual realm. It's wartime in the spirit. We're starting to feel it in the natural, but it's wartime in the spirit. Meaning this, the church can't be passive anymore. The church can't hide away on Sundays anymore and put on good programs and hope that it changes the world anymore. No, we must be faithful in little. We must be faithful partners to say, God, church isn't a Sunday thing, it's an everyday thing. Lord, your presence isn't a Sunday thing. I carry it with me, it's an everyday thing. And Lord, wherever I go, my head will be up, my ears will be open, and I will listen for your voice, the voice of a stranger I won't follow. And if you say, I need to take a step of faith, I will do it. If you say, I need to give up something because you have need of it, I will do it. Now is the time to understand and to comprehend the hour at hand. Jesus is returning soon. What kind of servants will we be? Do we do our best? Were we faithful? Were we doing the work of the ministry, or were we too afraid to mess up, to offend someone, and we just hide out in our homes, in our churches, and watch the world go to hell all around us? We must understand the opportunity before us, the opportunity for salvation, the opportunity to steward in revival in our region, the opportunity to invite someone to church, see their life changed in the presence of God, the opportunity to pray for the prodigals to come home this Easter. That it's a now thing, Lord. Not bring the prodigals home someday. No, we all know people that should be in his presence. Lord, today would you bring them home? Lord, at Easter, would you draw them in? Would you eliminate every excuse? Would you soften their heart? Would you open their eyes? Would you send somebody, if they won't hear me, would you send somebody that they would hear? Let our prayers not be for someday. Let it be for today. Let our faith be in today. Would you move today? Lord, we trust you today. Let your will be done today. We can't afford to be passive observers, especially this week. As we celebrate this Holy Week, as we go into it, and as we remember all that Jesus did for us, let's be faithful to do our part in the natural so that God can do the supernatural. And by faith, hear me, we declare that the presence of Jesus is riding into this city. And by faith, we declare that the presence of Jesus and his precious Holy Spirit is riding into this region once again to bring revival to the Bible Belt like we've never seen in our lifetime. We will raise our kids and our families in revival. We will raise our kids and our families in a church that knows the presence of God. We will raise our kids in a church where they understand and they can hear God's voice from a young age. Let's be faithful in this season. Let's be faithful to partner. Be faithful to do the little things and watch what God will do this week. Watch what God will do in the coming weeks and in the season ahead to impact his kingdom and to bring many into salvation. Let me pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that as they honored you 2,000 years ago, Lord, today we honor you as our King. We worship you. We know that you ride into cities, even today, on the praises of your people. And Lord, today we are a people who are hungry for you. We are a people who are passionate about you. We are people who want to worship you just for you, because you are more than worthy of it all. Not because we want stuff from you, Lord, because we love you. We want you. And Lord, I pray that this week, let us remember these faithful lessons, these truths that we see from your word, that as we go and we do the little things, as we go and we put our hand to the plow, as we go and we partner with you, Lord, would you use us to bring healing to people? Lord, as we invite people to church, would you open their heart to receive from you? Would you eliminate excuses for them to come to this place? And Lord, I just pray that as we gather together to celebrate Good Friday, as we gather together to celebrate Easter, Lord, let it be a time where your presence rests in this atmosphere and on this property like never before. Let people come here that are far from you, where miracles take place and healing is ministered and salvation is experienced and family trees are changed, Lord, forever. Because of your presence, because of your glory, and we'll be faithful to steward as best as we can. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all these things. Help us put feet to our faith this week to walk out what we just saw in your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Abide Church podcast. If you'd like to partner with us financially, or if you're in the Tulsa area and would like to attend our weekly gathering, you can check out abidechurch.com.